The following event is a More Ace Audio production. Introducing first, from London, England, the team of Ace
yes!
and Skillet.
This
is
welcome to another episode of the podcast. My name is Skillet. My name is Skillet. And here is your weekly Ace Pro Wrestling podcast. How have you been, Skillet?
Good, man. It's been a good wrestling week. Thank so you. I've been very good. Yes. Always, they always do actually. Yeah, they actually do for us. They had the pre-parties.
Yeah.
And you kind of just, even though we kind of loosely, well, you've worked with them longer than I have, but I'd be kind of like in and out with them. Thanks to you, by the way.
It's all good.
You know,
all
and go into for the past year or so, and you go to these private events, and then you know you just forget some of the guys in WWE who actually know who I am. So it's like,
yes,
hey, good to see you, Skills.
Yeah.
I was like, oh wow, okay. You just forget sometimes.
I noticed that, like, when I mention your name, people know who you are instantly.
Right.
Shout out to Joel. I was like, yeah, because yeah. Like, this week of the kickout, you were here an interview with. Well, you're here two interviews.
Yes.
With American Alpha. Who I had them on my show, but also Skillet sat down with them and gave you guys a more in-depth wrestling interview. But when right. I mentioned to Joel, I was like, yo, yeah, can Skillet get a few minutes for the podcast? And he's like, yeah, Skillet,
yeah.
Of course.
Yeah, Joel was lovely. He was really nice. Really, he took care of me yesterday. So
yeah, big up to WWE. Right, before we get to the American Alpha podcast, American Alpha interview, anything we need to talk about outside of the ring this week?
Well, you know, I had something.
Yeah, is it gone?
I don't know why it's gone.
But
Braun Strowman injury, that's confirmed.
That's legit?
Yeah. No. So he's out.
No, that's this.
He's going to be out of Extreme Rules.
Yeah.
And out of Great Balls of Fire.
This is kayfabe, surely.
No.
Oh, and, arm injury?
And that's why they'll explain when we get to Raw recap what will happen on Raw this week.
Is it injury an arm injury? No.
Yeah, very sad. Because... that man was on fire.
Really?
Man was on fire.
Okay.
So.
I had no idea.
Mm.
I hear Emma's injured as well.
Emma is injured. That's another one that's outside the news. That's right. Well done. She got injured. I think something happened with her in a Sasha Banks match.
Yeah.
Maybe on a Raw or maybe on a, or maybe part of the tour. And she's going to be out for a while.
She just got back.
Very sad.
That's very sad.
She's always very unlucky, actually.
Yeah.
She injured before when she had momentum, and then they try and bring her back with Emelina nonsense. And poor Emma.
Just injuries. That's the only thing we really need to talk. That's the only thing that's really going on, isn't it?
I believe so. I mean, there's not really much going on in a rumor mill.
Yeah.
In terms of talent, I know that Steve Corino is part of the WWE agency. Apparently, I saw a picture of him and Albert. Obviously, Albert. Everybody knows Albert's part of the agency WWE.
Yeah.
But Steve Corino, a ring ECW legend, mm-hmm. and Ring of Honor commentator, is now probably going to be part of his WWE now.
Interesting.
So that's good.
Did you see the response to the We Want Mania chants?
I loved it.
Why
I hope
did
it happens.
You love it?
Well, I hope it happens, man.
Yeah, I think Mania in London is I don't think they understand how huge it will be.
Yeah.
I
think they do kind of get it.
Really?
I do think they do know England is a wrestling country.
No, I get it. I think they understand how big the event will be. I don't think they know, because Mania brings a lot of money in for them. I think they've underestimated how much money it can bring in if they do it in the UK. I think they know that it's a good thing for the brand.
Yeah.
But I don't think they understand, like, bring Mania to Wembley Stadium. Come on, man.
Yeah, true.
That's crazy. 90,000 people, they sell out.
It'll be amazing.
People fly over, loads of different events in London and around the UK. I think it's got to happen.
I hope so.
I think it's got to happen.
I really hope so. That would be nice.
Do you know what the thing is as well? Like, different from Mania, they don't even have to do Raw the next night in London. They could go up to the UK, they could go to Birmingham or Manchester.
Yeah, and
it'll
be you know
rowdy.
And it'll be rowdy.
Rowdy. Do you know what I mean? So, guys, if you're listening, we need Mania.
It'll be good.
I want it.
It might be, you might lose a lot of money, but, do it anyway.
No, I think, even, like,
you'll gain more in the long run.
It would be sick if it was the year that they inducted the British Bulldogs.
Davey Boy Smith, man. Let's talk about him for a second,
man.
that man needs to be next, inducted next year, right?
100%.
Because I think now, because they're going to launch this UK tournament. Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's one thing we can talk about.
Right.
So our boy Roy Johnson, he was part of the UK show that they pre-recorded in Norwich.
Wicked.
So there's like a UK show coming up for the WWE product. And I think next year's Hall of Fame induction would be great for UK talent to induct. Or, even if it's Nigel McGuinness or you just get Diana Hart, maybe.
Or wait until it comes here. If it comes here.
Right.
Or to be
I
fair,
can't wait no longer, man.
We
I'm
might
sorry.
Not get Mania. We might get Royal Rumble or something like that, which is, I mean, equally as good.
It is insane that we've only had really and truly SummerSlam, really.
Yeah, how long ago was that?
It's like more than 20 years ago. Like,
it's crazy.
26 years ago?
No, it wasn't that long ago, was it?
What am I talking about? Where are we now? 2017?
Yeah, you might be right. It was like 90-something.
90, wasn't it 92?
Yeah. Wow, that's crazy. 25 years ago.
Yeah, 25 years ago, yeah.
Wowzers. Wow.
Or was it 24 years ago? I want to shout out to Ben Moxham. Ben Moxham is the WWE GP winner, and he was able to meet us, come down, watch the show with James D'Lo live. And when I got into chatting with him, he's a big fan of the Kickout.
Wicked.
And he described our show as, he said, the Kickout is so good because it's just like two guys just chatting about wrestling, like a normal conversation, doesn't seem like it's pretty.
And I
was like, well, you're right about that, but I don't know if this is a compliment or not, but thanks. No, but it's true. No, obviously I took it as a compliment. And thank you, Ben. So,
thank you very much.
And you know, Kick Out, man. Got a lot of lovers. A lot of people were talking about Kick Out to me this week as well, so that's good.
Sick. Absolutely.
Kick Out running wild, baby.
Right. So, should we get on with, what should we do this first? Should we do American Alpha or go into the, we'll do American Alpha?
I think so.
All right, so this week, myself and Skillet both had separate interviews with American Alpha. Chad Gable, or Gamble, you'll understand the joke when you hear my interview.
Wow.
And Jason Jordan. And during the interview, I run down my top five wrestling tag teams of all time. Do you think they agreed or disagreed before we get into
that? I gotta think they disagreed with you.
You think they disagreed
and
with
you? I mean, I was speaking about, I didn't speak to them on my top five, but myself and American Alpha had a very nice conversation about tag team wrestling.
Oh, you did?
And we had a nice conversation about the Steiners. So
there you go. Okay. This is exactly where my top five fell apart for them.
Oh, okay. They were very happy to talk to me about this.
I mentioned the Steiners. Don't get it twisted. The Steiners were in my top five, but they were very upset
where
about
they were.
The placement of the Steiners. So
I'm assuming it was five.
Let's get into it. Let's do my interview first.
Yes.
This is me. From my One Extra show, I'm on Monday to Friday, weekdays 10 a.m. to 1, sitting down with American Alpha. Check this out.
This is the Kickout.
All right, your boy Ace right here on One Extra. It is Ace Week. So all week, I've got some huge guests on the show. Yesterday we had the big interview with Wizkid. Tomorrow we got the big live lounge with Lethal B and Friends. The Migos on Thursday show. And on Friday, Jay Huss in the live lounge. And today, I'm very happy and excited to be joined by American Alpha. Hello!
What's
Chad Gable,
on?
Jason Jordan, how you guys doing, man?
Doing great. How are you?
I'm excellent. I'm a huge WWE fan.
All right.
And I gotta say, first and foremost, I love what you guys are doing at the moment.
Oh, thank you very much.
It's like the true essence of wrestling.
What a compliment.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
Can you quickly just give us a brief outline of your story? How did you guys come to form and how did you get together?
Well, I guess I could start that because it was kind of my annoying persistence. I was poking and prodding at Jason like a little brother, begging him to just give me a chance. Let me prove myself to him. Let me show him that I would be a good partner for him because he was kind of struggling and searching for a tag team partner at the time. So I kind of poked my head in and said, let me do it. And he was resistant.
I had a little bit of an ego, I guess.
But he finally gave in, you know.
Yeah, finally gave in. I was pleasantly surprised. We just had this great chemistry and we really hit it off from like day one. As soon as we stepped foot in the ring together, it was like we knew
magic.
There was something there.
Yeah, yep.
Absolutely. So
did you prefer, I mean, I know we're in a room together and you're side by side. outside, and I don't want to cause any friction. But did you prefer singles wrestling to tag teams wrestling, Jason?
I originally thought I did, yeah. But you know, being in NXT for so long and trying out a few different things with tag team partners, I fell in love with tag team wrestling, and it helps to have an amazing partner. You know, when you have an Olympian who wants to be your partner, that's a pretty big deal, and it's definitely grown on me. It's been like this is it. Like I couldn't see myself in anything other than tag team wrestling right now.
All right, now, so for those, because you guys are quite a new tag team in a grand scheme of things.
Yeah,
like for those that haven't seen you, I would describe you guys as, like, as I said at the beginning of the interview, just pure wrestling.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
When you guys were coming together or even starting in a business, did you have any crazy gimmicks that you thought would work in this wonderful world of wrestling? I mean, did you think, hey, let's be the wrestling postman or the wrestling DJs or the rap group? Like, was there anything else that you could have thought of that you tried out maybe and just didn't work?
What did you try? Did you try anything?
I know I did. I tried a lot of different things.
what did you try?
I mean, I've tried being the ladies' man.
Oh, wow.
This one was a little bit out there. I was considering myself the crowd pleaser.
What does that mean?
In that way, it was like, you know, I would dress up in all these different things backstage, you know, postman, whatever it is, just to deliver the pizza. But right. It was like all these different things. And it was just like my way of saying, like, you know, I was just going to do whatever I had to do to make people happy.
Right. What about you, Chad? Was there anything else?
Well, the other thing I tried when we were down in NXT, we would do these presentation skills classes and promo classes where you try stuff out, and believe it or not, for those that like kind of watch Braun Strowman now on TV, he's this big monster, just this animal. I was kind of like his leader and the boss, so you can imagine like a guy my size, and I was slapping him around and pretty much owning him. So I should dig those tapes out someday and then show a few people.
I know that's pretty good.
I remember that. It was pretty good. There was one, I think in a match, you stepped up to the second rope so you could see him eye to eye, and he was just yelling at him. Like,
I think he might have yanked me right off. Whatever.
And Chad, you're an Olympian.
Yeah.
Wow, how does that feel, man? To say that you came and represented America in the 2012 Olympics.
Yeah, right here, actually. And yeah. and I was just saying earlier, what a great job, because a lot of people like to compare the Olympics and what cities did a good job and what didn't. And London just absolutely, like, put on this incredible Olympics, and everybody's saying it was the greatest in such a long time. But, yeah, I spent 20 years, you know, amateur wrestling and chasing that dream, which it was just, that was my life. That was all I did. That was, my family's made vacations out of my wrestling tournaments. It's just, that was everything we ever did. So to have it kind of culminate in that way, it was so special. And
I've always wanted to ask somebody that's gone from amateur to pro, is it ever hard to switch off? Because sometimes I watch Brock Lesnar, I'm scared he's going to have a UFC flashback and just kill someone. But I mean, is it hard to switch from amateur to professional wrestling?
Well, at least for the physical and like body mechanics part of it, that was pretty easy. You know, when we got to NXT and started training, that stuff all came really naturally. You know, it's the part of kind of stepping out of your shell and allowing yourself to be vulnerable and more of a character that was hard, you know, because in amateur wrestling, you would never do that. You would never play to the crowd. You would never let them affect you and act like a moron out on the mat.
You don't show the emotion. It's like stone cold, just straight face. Like, you don't want, you know, it's almost like to psych somebody out when you're going head to head with somebody and in such a intense match, and for somebody to be stone face and show no emotion, no fatigue, whatever. Yeah. Like, that's what amateur wrestling, a big part of it is.
But you'd get fired if you did that here.
Well, nobody would like you. Everybody would be like, this guy, what's with this guy? He's boring. He's just...
You guys are on the main show, SmackDown. I mean, I'm not allowed to say, but I think SmackDown is probably the better show.
You can say
that. How different is that from NXT, which you started doing? NXT is a kind of a developmental territory. How different is it being in that arena to the SmackDown arena?
I mean, for the most part, it really feels very similar. It's just on a bigger stage. You know, there's more people, different demographic. You know, you're reaching out to people who might not necessarily be passionate wrestling fans. A lot of them might be casual fans who want to bring their family to a show, and that's just a bigger opportunity to make people love what we do. But realistically, it's just not... there's not a huge difference. I feel like, especially because there's a difference between the way Raw and SmackDown is kind of run, and I feel like SmackDown's almost a bigger version of NXT. A lot of the guys that we have on our roster have had big opportunities in NXT, and it's just moving on to this point.
Awesome. So something I do on my show every day is the Ace Top 5 of the Day. So I might run down anything from who I think is the most attractive cartoon character to my top 5 favorite sandwiches to anything. Just a top 5. So today I thought I'd run down a top 5 with you guys. And these are my top 5 greatest tag teams of all time. So I'm gonna give you my list,
okay,
and you guys can let me know whether you think I got
it
right.
Give you some critiques.
Yeah, tell me if I got it right or I got it wrong.
And tell me who I think should be number one.
Yeah, there's gonna be a big decider here.
Okay, so are you ready?
Yeah.
All right, let's do it.
Ace's top 5 of the day.
And I want to shout out to the One Extra listeners as well, because they've been getting involved, and they got great opinions on who should be on the list. But this is my list. The Ace Top 5 of the Day, accompanied by American Alpha. My top 5. In at number 5.
Number 5.
Number 5, I'm going to go with the Steiner Brothers.
Oh, well, wow. Okay, I'm happy they're on the list. Yeah. But
you think they should be higher?
Yeah, you're way too low.
Really?
Yeah,
they should be a little higher. But then we've still got to see who your number one is, so we'll let you keep going. Come on.
Don't want to harp on you too early.
So you think the 5 is too low for them?
A little bit, yeah.
Okay, all right. Number 4.
Number 4.
Number 4, I'm going to go with the Dudley Boys.
Okay. That'll work.
I mean, you can't beat going for a table. Have you been for a table yet? How does that feel?
No, we have not.
We've had some chairs involved, but no tables.
No tables.
Yeah.
Aren't you itching to go for a table?
I mean, I like the way I feel right now. So.
I mean, I'd love to want to go for a table. All right, number 3.
Number 3.
In at number 3, we're in the UK, so it's only right that I go with the British Bulldogs.
Okay.
All right.
Big choice.
Good, yeah.
Okay. Oh, yeah. We'll let you buy with that one.
We're going to let them go with that one. All right, number 2.
Number 2.
Number 2 is where it gets controversial, I think. But I'm going to go for the Hardys at number 2.
Ooh, all right. Just came back.
They just came back.
Okay, yeah.
I mean, you guys are on separate shows, but I can't wait to see you guys mix it up with the Hardys. Is that going to happen at some point?
I would love it. It'd be insane to wrestle these guys that you kind of watched, you know, in their prime when you were growing up, and you're like these huge fans of them, and now it's time to give them a whooping. You know what I mean?
And then hopefully on one of these crossover shows, you know, we can have, you know, best from SmackDown, best of Raw.
That would be awesome.
You know, that would be really fun. So hopefully
excited,
we can get
Jason.
That going.
You're getting me very excited. And my number one tag team of all of the times, I'm going to have to give it to LOD, the Legion of Doom.
Okay, all right.
How did I do?
Okay. Where do I start?
No,
honestly, the 5 you picked were great.
Okay.
You got to swap the Steiners. Well, I mean, they got to be in your number one spot. Just push LOD back.
I mean, we all have our own opinion, but I mean, they're number one on our list. Yeah, so man. We just figured, you know, maybe bring them up a little bit higher.
That's awesome that you both agree on that.
Though. Yeah, they're our favorite tag team of all time.
Because something else I want to do with you guys is work out whether you guys should actually be together. I think it's important that tag teams are united and you know each and everything about the person you're in the ring with each and every night.
That's
got your back.
Yeah.
So what we've done is we've devised a game to find out how well Jason Jordan and Chad Gable know each other. Are you down for the challenge?
Let's do it.
All right, so we're gonna play a song. And we are going to play the Mr. and Mr. game. We're about to play the Mr. and Mr. game with Jason Jordan and Chad Gable, American Alpha, SmackDown Live tag team, doing huge things, former champions. And I've basically given them 5 questions that they have to answer about each other. Now, I think if you guys can get 3 out of 5 of these right,
I don't know about that. You're setting the bar pretty high.
Then
there.
You are definitely destined for huge things. If you don't do that, then I'm pretty sure we've got some more.
We got work to do.
Definitely got some work to do. So can we put our pens down?
Yeah.
They're down.
Can I have the answers, please? Mark, can you go get that answer, please? Right, so this Chad's still right.
So are we answering the same question? We're answering the same questions for each other.
Yeah, so this is what we're gonna do now. Alright, so cool. Who's this one? This is Jason. This is Jason.
Yeah, I should have put my name on the top. Isn't that the first thing you're supposed to do in class?
Okay, understand. Okay, cool. All right, here we go. So, let me ask you first. Chad.
Yeah.
What would you say are your worst habits?
Oh, shoot. I forgot we even had this. I would say I probably I'm just on my phone way too much, I would say.
That's what your worst habit is?
That's probably one of my worst habits, yeah.
Jason Jordan.
The way that question was worded. I thought it was supposed to be.
What would he say? That's just true, you know.
Yeah.
What would you say that Jason's, you're right.
What I say is my worst.
What would you say that Jason Jordan would say his worst habit?
Oh, okay. For myself already. Right. So I ruined that question. So should I now do Jason's?
So what?
You guys are actually confused.
The question was confusing. You gave us a short amount of time, but the way the question was worded.
Question one is great. Question one is good. All right. Chad Gable.
I didn't even realize.
Okay. Right. The way I put it down, I put down what I thought he would say about me.
That's what I did too.
So Chad Gable.
Yes.
Who is Jason Jordan's celebrity crush?
I didn't know this, but we had a conversation on the bus a couple days ago, and I don't know if it was with you. I'm hoping it was, but if it was the chick from Modern Family, Sofia Vergara.
Oh.
No?
No.
There was someone else. Might have been Sami Zayn then.
Might have been.
You got Scarlett Johansson.
So once again.
What?
I wrote down what I thought his
was
celebrity crush was.
This game is all running wrong. Just keep that away from me. Anyway, let's just go through the rest of the answers.
Okay, sure.
The next question was,
what is Jason's favorite restaurant?
Go on.
Logan's.
Is that right? Let's just do it this way. Is that right?
The Cheesecake Factory.
We eat at Logan's.
I put his favorite as Logan's.
Is yours favorite Logan's?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, cool.
We got one.
Let's go down it.
What's the next question?
Let me ask you first.
Most embarrassing.
What's the next question?
What did you say was my most embarrassing moment?
I said, and now I don't want to get too sensitive here, but I said your most embarrassing moment would be when you lost at NCAAs.
Oh,
I know. Okay. Don't give me that noise. Oh. Come on.
You just put your business out.
That was probably my most embarrassing.
Why was that embarrassing? Did you lose embarrassingly?
Just like one of those. I should have won. Yeah. I was expecting to win a national championship at that time, but then my brother happened to get down on the floor, so my brother didn't get to go and see any matches live, really. So he was there at NCAA's, and he was right before. Before I was going out, he was off on the side, and he was as I was going out, I saw him, and he was just like, "Hey, man, I got down here," and so it was just it could have thrown me off. Yeah. I don't know. I'm not putting blame on that, but it was just one of those things. I really wish I had that back. And yeah,
you're a SmackDown. But,
I've had some opportunities to redeem myself now, exactly. But yeah.
Chad, what was your favorite, your most embarrassing moment?
Oh, wait, I have to...
You throw it out there and...
At this, I knew this one, but I couldn't think of what it was, but I put down the time that we were doing a media day with the news, and this lady called him Chad Gamble. And he corrected her, and she just blew right past it, didn't even say anything, so I put that down.
And I was in my hometown.
Think about that. Gamble.
Yeah.
That is terrible. She should get fired. Instantly. Okay, and I think the last question was, if there was a fire, what would you go in and rescue?
I put Jason would grab his wedding ring.
Oh, yeah. True.
Should we just answer what we...
the game's messed up.
I put that he would go back and grab his daughter first.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So easy, right?
That person definitely makes sense. And would you grab your wedding ring, Jason?
I think I would have my wedding ring already on. Yeah.
But see, I took into account that when we're, you know how you do things with your wedding ring. I don't know if I should put all the business out there. But where's this one on the road so we don't lose one?
Oh, yes,
grab the real one. You know what
this
I mean?
This is very true. Okay. So like this one, I wear a rubber one all the time because with working out and everything, it just, you know, and I don't want to lose my original one. So I keep that one at home and then
see how deep.
Yeah, this is
see how deep I know
yeah.
him.
Yeah, you see. Yeah, see these questions. They don't really inform you how much we actually know about each other.
I'm going to look at my producer and Verdict. Do you think they're going to make it as a tag team more?
Yeah.
Thanks, man.
Good call.
I'm trying to look at you guys now and trying to work out who's going to do the heel turn and turn on the other one first.
Ooh, let's not. Why are we bringing that up now?
You're trying to drive a wedge in between the tag team.
Hey, guys, it's been an absolute pleasure, man. Thank you so much for stopping through.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And again, you guys came from NXT. NXT are touring over here. In June.
Yeah.
And I would say, like, I love SmackDown and Raw, but NXT shows are absolutely... I went to TakeOver in Dallas last year, which... You guys, phenomenal.
Great, thank you.
Phenomenal. That night, you was red hot. So, yeah, big up to you guys.
For anyone that hasn't been to an NXT show over here, they're the most fun we've ever had in NXT was when we came over on these UK
Absolutely.
Tours.
Yeah.
So you have to go to them, get your tickets, because they're just the most fun atmosphere.
The crowd is electric.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's
unbelievable. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Jason Jordan, Chad Gamble. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
That was fun, man.
Yeah, there you go.
That was fun. I enjoyed that.
Thank you very much.
You know, you're always good at what you do, man.
So, yeah, if you missed it, my top five were American Alpha. They weren't in my top five yet. They're on their way. But it was the Steiners were number five.
Okay.
The Dudleys were number four.
Okay.
Number three was, the British Bulldogs.
Okay. That's nice.
Number two were the Hardys, and number one was LOD.
And what did they say to you?
They weren't angry with the top five, but they were upset that the Steiners weren't higher, if not number one, because they said basically the Steiners are their guys. Yeah, so there you go. What do you think?
I mean, I'm a ride or die for Steiners. I think Steiners has to be my number one.
Number one tag team of all time.
I think so. LOD probably two.
Yeah.
Boy, Steiners, LOD. I did love the Bulldogs, but I gotta put Heart Foundation in there. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Dudleys. And Owen and Yokozuna.
What?
I'm joking. Owen and Yokozuna wasn't a bad tag team.
No, wasn't a bad tag team.
No, but they're not a great tag team.
They weren't cream of the crop.
No, I mean, shout outs to Hardys, shout outs to Edge and Christian.
Yeah.
Shout outs to the Rockers. I love the Midnight Express. I think Haas and Benjamin might have to be in there, man.
Greatest tag team of all time.
In the top five.
No. I don't think they had a long enough run.
That's a good point. They were amazing though.
Guys, feel free to let us know who you would have been in your top five. Tweet us at Kickout Podcast. Feel free to leave a message on SoundCloud or on Instagram. Okay, so was it after or before? I think it was before. Before I spoke to them, you spoke to them.
Yes, I did.
So this is Skillet in conversation, talking wrestling, with Jason Jordan and Chad Gable, American Alpha. Check this out.
Okay, kick out fans, listeners, viewers, subscribers, everything above. I am here with arguably the greatest tag team, I would say maybe in the past 10 years. Yes, I'm going to be controversial and say that. I am with American Alpha, Chad Gable, Jason Jordan. Thank you for coming today. How are you both?
Great. Very well. Yeah, thanks for having us.
And how important is London to you? You have a massive following here in the UK. I know you both have quite... You know, historical histories yourself, Chad, and you both have the amateur wrestling background. You're very much appreciated here for what you do in the art form in terms of wrestling. How important is London to you?
Yeah, like you said, at least for me, my first visit here was super important. It was when I made the Olympic team and wrestled over here, and what a great experience! And they did you know, arguably the best job of any Olympics in a long, long time putting that together. But I think for speak for both of us that we had, you know, a crazy night here when we came with NXT.
Yeah, I mean, first it was going through the UK for our first tour with NXT. We were getting amazing reactions. Yeah, like
I was there. Don't worry. I was part of that reaction.
And for everything to come to a head in London, it was just an amazing tour for us. And I really felt like that was a time that like everything kind of tipped for us. It was everything took off. And,
everything kind of built on that whole tour to that night. It just kind of every night was a little, and you know, we didn't know the crowds over here were like that until we got here. And then they're just like a whole other level than they are in America, you know, just different. And then, you know, it was better and better every night, and it just built and culminated on that last night of the tour in London, which was awesome.
There's definitely a deep appreciation for wrestling in London.
Yes, definitely.
And that's our specialty. Yeah. You know, that's our forte. So that's it's definitely appreciated by the fans, and we appreciate them.
I remember when you first debuted in NXT, Jordan, you were in a tag team with Ty Dillinger.
Yeah.
And then obviously that didn't really work out, and you went through a little series of looking for partners, and then Chad debuted. And I remember there was something special about, because it was this little subtle backstage promo where Chad was proposing to be your partner, and I was like, okay, there's something interesting here. Did you know at that time, did you know he was going to be, you know, the guy for you, that was going to be like the greatest tag, one of the greatest tag teams ever?
No, we didn't. I don't think either one of us really knew what to expect at that point. We kind of had a feeling that, like, you know, there could be something here, but until we actually got into the ring and we worked together, we knew right away that it was something special. There was chemistry and something magic. So
that first match you guys had, it just took off from there. it was really special.
Man. Definitely. It's funny that you bring up the whole tag team with Dillinger, because, you know, like, I feel like both of us were talented individuals, but we were so much better off splitting. He's doing his thing now. He's doing great. And I mean, this is the best thing that could have happened to my career right now.
I mean, for the get-go, you can see the chemistry you both had straight away. And, you got in some coffees right now. But you, and not only because of the in-ring ability that you both possess, but you guys have a great chemistry together, just naturally with promos. That shone a lot in NXT, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Do you miss that? I mean, you don't get to speak as much on SmackDown Live. How do you feel about the promos?
Yeah, so that was one of my favorite parts, and I think a big part of kind of what got the crowd with us in NXT or gave them a reason to care about us, because when you see, you know, the way that I approached Jason, which was, you know, a bit annoying, but at the same time a little endearing, because, you know, it's like kind of like I was picking at my big brother to try to, but anyway, people can get on board with that, you know, and then they see that over and over, and they kind of were with us and saw us get together, and they want to be there from the beginning and be with you. So that was a big part of it, and we're looking forward to, I think, getting a chance to show that again, you know, hopefully sometime soon, that we enjoy that stuff.
Yeah, we just want our fans to be able to get a concept of our personalities, get a really good feel of who we are, and when we get more time to speak and have backstage interviews and everything, I think that'll come out.
Everybody knows we can wrestle, you know what I mean? Like you see that, but you only want to watch that so much. After a while, you want to see, you know, what kind of guys are these? Who are they, you know? And I think,
why should you care about
us? Absolutely.
What connection do you have with us? And
so I think before too long, we'll give him that.
I'm going to say this now. I don't know what JBL was talking about. I love the ready, willing, and Gable. I love that, man. I mean, did you come up with that?
Yeah, so we did, I mean, I can't take full credit, but we did we always do these local shows in Florida, obviously, these live events, not televised. And we have the same group of, like, really kind of hardcore fans that would come every week. And when I was first starting out, I was wrestling as a singles guy before I started teaming with Jason. And this one lady in the crowd that came to, like, every single show, she would bring the sign that said Ready, Willing, and Gable. And then, you know, I needed I needed a little hook to kind of convince him when I was doing that annoying stuff and begging him. And I just, you know, it came out one day. It was the perfect time. So I owe her. I told her that, you know, once we sell 1 million towels, I'll give her a little residuals. I owe her, so.
Let's talk about your matches. I'm going to have to say, I think the match that changed everything for you both was the match in the Dusty Rhodes Classic against Baron Corbin and Rhino. Would you agree with that?
100%.
That was, I mean, I think, to be, in my opinion, that probably stole that pay-per-view. Yeah. I think he probably did. How important, I mean, was Dusty very influential in both of your careers coming up?
Oh, absolutely. Got to spend a lot of time with Dusty. And for me personally, he was one of the first people to, like, really believe in me. Like, he had always, like, there's a lot of people said I had potential and everything, but he really gave me the confidence. He helped me. He sat down, he got to know who I am, and it definitely brought out a different side of me. So yeah, he was very influential for me personally, but he was the whole reason that we had gotten together.
Oh, yeah. There you go. So, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
So
a lot of it, yeah, was his idea, and that tournament was so special because we had just started tag teaming, and like we saw it as this unique opportunity to like do something cool because NXT is always doing cool stuff like these tournaments and like they do all kinds of stuff, and so we didn't know that it was going to be this breakout for us. Though we like got to the semifinals, we're like, great, you know, we get it on a takeover finally, and then kind of showcase ourselves. But man, it was kind of a night that everything switched, and I think the opponents played a big part in that because Baron Corbin was so hated by the NXT crowd at that time. And we were just on the cusp of whether or not people were going to say, man, I really love those guys, or, you know, I don't know if I should boo or cheer them. And, man, that night changed everything. They just knew after that. They really connected with us and just took off from there.
Yeah, I think that was one of the big match opportunities that, like, people got to see, like, you know, there's times when you could step up to the plate and you can, you know, you can take a swing and knock it out of the park, or, you know, you can strike out or whatever. But I think at that night we knocked it out of the park.
Yeah, absolutely. You sure did.
It was just showing of many things to come, like that we can hang. And
look what happened after that. You and TakeOver Dallas, you became the NXT Tag Team Champions. I was there too. I was there live. Awesome. And the atmosphere was crazy. And I saw you guys welling up, and it was very emotional for both of you. No, but it was great to see. You don't get to see that as much, you know what I mean? Yeah. And you could really see a real bond between the two of you. And, you know, going forth, I'm going to see nothing but greater things to happen. Yeah. One last thing before I let you guys go. Steiner Brothers. Yeah. I have to mention this, man. You know, as a kid, there was always the argument, Legion of Doom or the Steiners. And for me, it was always the Steiners. Yeah. So I just want to say thank you. No. Thank you for bringing back the bulldog off the top. And, you know, we're going to see some Steiner recliners soon, hopefully. But now that Kurt Angle's back in the fold, can you see something happening with Alpha and Angle?
Definitely. We could always see something happening there. There's the obvious connection between us and Kurt. But, yeah, I mean, as long as he's a general manager on Raw, it's like we can't really do much hopefully there are paths will cross at some point.
The next superstar shakeup. Yeah. Thank you so much for your time, guys.
Thanks a lot.
All the best, man. Take care.
Sick interview skills.
Thanks, man.
Well, what was your big take from the interview?
They just enjoy. You can just tell they just enjoy talking about wrestling.
Yeah.
And if they know you're into your wrestling and you know your wrestling, they will talk to you about it way after the interview as well. And that's what happened.
Yeah.
We'll talk about it. So I spoke to him about I was supposed to include this question that I asked. It was supposed to be an interview, but I totally forgot. And I mentioned it in the conversation we had afterwards. But I talked to him about that. Remember that promo they did with Enzo and Cass, the Drake back-to-back?
Right.
We had a great laugh about that. We spoke about 205 Live.
Right.
And they asked me what I would do with 205 Live. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, maybe not full center, but it needs to be somewhere else and not after SmackDown. And they agreed.
Mm-hmm.
And they said they're always thinking of ideas that they could try and better the company. But then I said, well, it's always easy to think you could book it, but it's hard to actually do it. Mm-hmm. So it's one of those things, because you got to think about so many other things that we're not thinking about. That's in perspective, money and business. So, but they were lovely, man. Very nice chaps. And they were very happy to bless me with an interview.
Big up to those guys. All right, cool. So let me.
Oh, and I got another tag team.
Go on.
Don't go mess with the country boys, country boys, country boys. Don't go mess with the country boys, country boys. No. The Godwins? Mm-hmm. Nah, they're not really. No. I'm still struggling for the fifth spot. That's really bad. I think we had this conversation. Maybe the start of Kickout. We had a solid five.
New Age Outlaws.
No. The Hollies. No.
Beverly Brothers.
Oh, I used to love Beverly Brothers. Now
I did as well. They had a sick handshake.
They were sick.
Remember the handshake?
Yes, I do. Do you remember
Men on a Mission?
Not Men on a Mission. Beverly Brothers was sick, but there was the one that was part of Jim Cornette's camp. What were they called again? And it was Tom Pritchard and the Gigolo. The Gigolo, Tom Pritchard, and yeah, no, I can't remember what they were called now. But they were dope as well. Damn, that's really bad. I should remember this. It'll come back to me.
Yeah, the listeners will remind you. All right, let's talk about Raw and SmackDown in the O2 Arena. We were there for, you was there for both, actually.
I was.
I only was able to attend Raw this week. So we'll start with Raw. Raw came live from the O2 Arena. As I was sitting there, I came with my kids this time. And as I was sitting, I was just trying to work, remember how many times I've actually been to the O2 Arena this year. It's been quite a lot, you know.
Yeah.
It's been quite a lot. And it never fails. I mean, the vibe of the O2 Arena is second to none. It's awesome. I was also thinking, which is really strange, but like, we watch these shows every week here, and the arena always looks like they could really shoot it in a studio.
Yeah.
They're really able to make it look exactly the same every week, wherever they go.
Which
I think is sick.
Yeah, they do well. Ah, the Heavenly Bodies, that's what they were called. Okay. Heavenly Bodies, sorry, Tom Pritchard and Gigolo Jimmy Del Rey. Sorry, go back. Sorry about that.
So you just cut me off.
Yeah.
But anyway, I was sitting next to a very drunk Skillet, and I think you will never experience a live event unless you sit next to a drunk Skillet. Oh. I think it's you're quite entertaining.
Thank you, I appreciate that. But
really entertaining.
We're not going to get into what happened after the event. But, you know.
But what happened
after? No, we're not going to get into that.
All right.
Yeah. But it's just, yeah. Sometimes it can work against me.
You just need to, like, seriously. Just, yeah.
Sort your life out. Yeah, it's true.
But I got to say, we had a lot of fun. My daughter thinks you're hilarious. She was talking about
She's very sweet.
But, yeah, so Raw started off this week with a promo from Dean Ambrose, who came out to tell us that Raw General Manager Kurt Angle was not in the building. Now, Skillet gave me the hot take as to why Kurt Angle was not in the building. Can you relay what you told me?
Well, I mean, I don't want to spread unfounded rumors, but the rumor is he missed his flight.
Kurt Angle, Olympic gold medalist, missed his flight to London, and that is why he wasn't at WWE Raw on Monday.
But there was like a reaction on, you know how online takes these stories and they try and twist it and be like, oh my God, Angle missed his flight, then he must be back on the wagon or whatever. That nonsense.
No.
I don't think that's not fair.
Maybe he just didn't want to come.
Maybe just things didn't happen, unfortunately.
Mm.
Maybe he didn't miss his flight.
Why didn't he get on a private jet?
Yeah.
Speaking of, can we just quickly...
What, Bow Wow?
That is the funniest shit ever.
Can you explain this to the listeners?
All right, so sorry, we're quickly going to just veer off for a second. So Bow Wow today put out an Instagram picture saying, yo, man, getting on a private jet, going to New York. Yo, man, we got to go and do this, whatever he's doing, yeah? So he's taking a picture of a car pulling up to a private jet. There's a car, a Benz outside of a private jet, and he's taking a picture like he's getting on a private jet to come to New York. Cool. So he's done that. Then a Instagram picture comes up of a guy who's sitting behind Bow Wow in economy on a flight to New York saying, hey, Bow Wow's on my flight in economy. Everybody's laughing. Ha ha ha. You're not really on a private jet. You're in economy. Da, da, da. Then there's another picture that comes out that shows that Bow Wow took this picture of a private jet. It's a stock image from that he took off Google.
Yeah.
Oh, what a waste, man.
But you have to understand, he can't be seriously the only one who does that.
No, bare people must
do
it.
That's what I mean, in that industry.
Oh, 100%. You fake it till you make it.
He just exposed everybody. Not everybody, but a lot of people that do that.
He's just going to make everybody...
Why do that, man? It's going to be a revolution, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's going to be a revolution where people who look at these things and have had enough of all these Instagram posts, the people thinking everything is merry and beautiful.
Oh, man. I might just start doing that, man. I might get in my car and just put a post.
No, you're too real. You're too real.
Stock
for that,
images of brand new whips.
You're too real for that.
This is just. Anyway, let's get back to wrestling and not Bow Wow, Shad Moss, terrible, very very bad. So Kurt didn't make it, and for some strange reason, Kurt named Dean Ambrose the general manager of Raw.
Right.
I don't know what credentials he's got. Maybe because he's the only person that's got a title. On this.
Right.
We ain't seen Brock Lesnar.
No. We ain't seen Lesnar. Oh, and when we said this, the time he won the belt at WrestleMania, you're like, why are they doing this? Lesnar's not going to turn up.
I think it's really disrespectful, though.
Is Lesnar going to turn up a Great Balls of Fire?
He has to. Hasn't he got a match there?
Does he? Does he have to? Was he at Payback?
No, he's got a match at Great Balls of Fire.
Against who?
They haven't told us yet.
Okay.
Or no, do you know what? They didn't say he's got a match. They said he returns at Great Balls of Fire, which could mean he comes out for a promo. That doesn't mean that he's actually going to wrestle.
And what was very strange was the fact that Angle made Dean Ambrose GM, and then obviously The Miz was made half GM.
Yes.
By Stephanie McMahon. We saw Stephanie.
Stephanie was in the building.
We saw her at the O2.
Yes.
Why couldn't she just come out and just take the role?
Well,
was she busy?
She's probably still, she's kind of kayfabe, still injured from Mania, isn't she? Going through the table. We ain't seen her since. So okay. I think her comeback is going to be a bit more relevant than just coming out at the O2 to say. And to be fair, if she's at the O2, then no, she's the GM. There's no point in making Miz the co-GM. Do you know what I'm saying?
Okay.
So I mean, it made sense, but I didn't like Miz and Dean Ambrose being co-GMs. It was a bit stupid to me, and I just don't think they give Dean the mic way too much. Sometimes I don't want to hear from Dean.
I don't hear from Dean a lot. Okay.
Do you know what I'm saying? Just giving him way too much.
What's a typical Dean Ambrose promo?
So I'm here, man, and I'm acting crazy. Yeah,
that was a good impression.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah,
really good.
Like he does the slow thing and then goes really fast. Yeah. So what are we gonna do? It's just
that's a good impression.
That's Dean Ambrose. It's dead. Really, but I mean, as much as we diss Dean Ambrose, he is so over.
I
went with my kids, yeah, and my son's best friend, he was a huge wrestling fan. All he was talking about was Dean Ambrose the whole time. He had his little intercontinental belt. As soon as Dean Ambrose came out, I looked at him and he was getting nuts.
I'm sorry, this is going to sound very rude, but I'm going to say, your son's friend?
Yeah.
He made me sick. What? I'm joking.
Loves Dean Ambrose. I know. So, I mean, and it's not just him. Like, they love Dean. I still don't understand it, but he's doing something right. He's doing something. Do you know what, to me, it's like, though? It's like, people that like Dean Ambrose cannot have experienced the Attitude Era. Do you know what I mean?
I agree.
Like, because he's fake Attitude Era.
I agree.
You're not, like, he's kind of like, you're supposed to kind of have the wild recklessness of Austin, but you don't. Yeah. It's not, it's just stupid.
You know what I just thought about, yeah? You know, when I was in SummerSlam last year, and I got to chat to Noam Dar.
Yeah.
You know Noam Dar, when he started watching wrestling, Shawn Michaels was the commissioner.
Wow.
Right?
Yeah.
He never knew Shawn Michaels.
As a wrestler
before then. Before then. Obviously, he knew. Yeah, he saw him as a wrestler afterwards.
Yeah.
So he was. He told me that he was like,
he doesn't know like Marty Jannetty.
So he's like, oh, a lot of people got respect for this commissioner guy, Michaels.
Wow.
Can you believe that? So that's like kind
of
so
maybe
what,
it's an age thing then.
So that was like, so that means when Noam Dar was younger, yeah, that was the towards the end of the, well, the Attitude Era was like, that was probably 99, right?
That was like towards the end of the Attitude Era.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
So that you're definitely right. All the Dean Ambrose fans would never know who.
They don't know how amazing the Attitude Era was. And they think what Dean Ambrose is, to be fair, what Dean Ambrose is doing is their kind of Attitude Era.
No, he's not.
No, for them, it's Attitude Era. If you think about it, it's like, wow, this guy's crazy.
No, he's got an asylum and he doesn't care.
No. And he's
them,
just got, do you know what I mean?
Their version of Attitude Era is when Brock Lesnar busts Randy Orton's head open.
Yeah, but that's not real.
That is no, Attitude
that's
Era.
That's just hardcore violence. But
that's
I'm talking
Attitude
about,
Era.
I'm talking about the attitude in terms of like, this guy's crazy. He's going to say anything or do anything.
That's Brock Lesnar. I don't give a shit about your kids. and busting Orton's head, that's their Attitude Era.
Do you think so?
Yeah. The embodiment of an Attitude Era is it's all in Brock. Not what Dean does. Dean does this wacky nonsense. Yeah. Dean is 07 WWE.
I just honestly,
when Carly was fighting Batista,
don't understand the appeal of Dean Ambrose. And like this week, he was the main attraction on the show.
Yeah.
He was the, he had a dark match. You know, whoever has a dark match is the guy. I lie?
Yeah.
Saying he had a dark match at the end with The Miz.
Yeah.
And he ended the show.
Yeah.
I even hate that thing where they always give him the mic after he's been beaten up.
I know I got my ass kicked, but I'm ready to come back and fight anybody else at any time, any day.
I'm sorry, I'm not a fan.
He's not a fan.
So anyway,
yeah, he lost it with me as well.
They set up some matches. I mean, we're not going to go through the whole card, but there was some interesting moments in Raw this week.
Sorry, apologies.
That's all right. What were some of your standout moments from Raw this week?
We're not going to talk about Braun and Roman, are we?
We have to, because it was the return of Roman.
So Roman Reigns got the biggest pop,
yeah,
in terms of reaction.
Reaction.
So
because he came back,
chairs,
we haven't seen him.
Booze, everything, all the above. Women going crazy.
Yeah.
And he comes out and beats up Braun Strowman after Strowman refuses to fight Kalisto for the 18,000th time.
Yeah. Well, they actually had a match.
Oh, they did.
They had a match.
Oh, yeah.
And then, like Roman was kicking Kalisto's ass with one arm.
Because Strowman had one arm, Reigns was able to have the upper hand on Strowman.
Right.
And mash him up. And that's probably how they're going to write him out of the story. So that's because we mentioned earlier, Braun Strowman has a legitimate injury.
I'm excited to see what happens when he comes back, because I think when he comes back, I think let's not waste time with Roman. Let's just go straight to Brock. Let's see Brock Braun. I like it.
I think Brock Braun should be for Mania though.
Nah, I don't want to wait that long.
Okay, SummerSlam.
Let's do it for SummerSlam.
Okay.
Let's do it. If he's able to get back before then, but
I like it, man.
I think that'll be an old, and I think Braun has proved himself. I think
he
can even talk. Do you know what I mean?
He can talk.
So I like it. I don't know what happens next with Roman. We shall see.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure that Roman Brock is about to happen again as well.
Are we going to talk about? I mean, Apollo Crews wasn't on Raw this week. What's that about?
Where was the Titus, bro?
You know,
no Titus.
There was quite a few talent missing in Raw this week, wasn't there? There wasn't much.
Yeah.
You had your Miz, obviously Miz and Seth had a little thing.
Yeah.
Miz and Dean had a little thing.
Yeah.
And then Dean had to face Bray in the main event.
Yeah.
That was nothing really much special to talk about, really, was there?
No.
Obviously, Seth Samoa Joe had a match.
That was a good match.
That was good. And Joe got disqualified.
Yeah.
So that continues the feud. Joe looked strong.
Alexa Bliss.
I went crazy for her. You saw that?
She beat Mickie James.
That was nice. I guess Nia Jax is on Bliss's side for a little while.
Yeah.
So that all actually developed into a feud down the line between them two.
Nia was kind of over, which I liked as well.
Yeah.
She's not like most girls, and I really enjoyed the Nia's gonna kill you chant.
Right.
You know what we should talk about is the tag team. That was probably the highlight for me. What do you call that match? The gauntlet match. Tag team gauntlet. Is it the gauntlet match? Or beat the clock? Or what do they call that?
Oh, the turmoil.
Tag team turmoil.
That was good. Cesaro and Sheamus looked awesome in that.
Yeah, man.
They got a great pop as well.
They're a force. And I think they got a great future. I think they should keep them together. Keep them together. 100%.
Yeah, I agree.
They are...
they're doing really well.
They're doing great things. So, yeah, keep them together. And I'm not even angry that this Hardy Boys Cesaro feud is continuing, because a lot of people will say that it's over with. No, let's keep them going, man. I like it.
Golden Truth was given some time.
Yes. And what I liked about that is they made you believe that Golden Truth were actually going to win.
Did they?
I think so. Huh. Because I think the promo where they was like, yo, man, we got to do this. We got to show them, man. The Hardys are not the only one that can turn back time. We could, like, and I was quite invested. I'm not going to lie. Well, you not? You didn't think it was going to happen?
No.
Okay. So, yeah, they lost anyway.
Hardys came out just to come out and just then go back. That's a good payday.
That was definitely a good payday. Free flight.
And TJ Perkins and Gallagher had an interesting match. And then
then
Gallagher and TJ Perkins and Neville were attacking Gallagher, and Aries came to make the save.
Through the crowd.
That was nice.
Which was interesting. That was a nice little touch there.
That was
basically Raw.
Mm.
That was...
Wasn't that good, was it?
It wasn't amazing. But I think there's a lot of talent missing. And I think it's hard to, as well, make the show interesting without the champion.
Yeah.
I really do. I think it's essential that if you hold that belt, you need to be on the show every week.
I agree.
Whether it's a promo or just a run-in or like...
No, it's true.
You don't have to wrestle every week. I'm not saying you do have to do that, but you have to be there to... Like, we have no idea what is going on with the title picture right now.
Yeah.
We don't know who his opponent is. We don't know what he's thinking. He hasn't spoken since he beat Goldberg, has he?
No.
He hasn't, like... Come on, man. Like, if you're going to have the belt, there's responsibility.
With well, the belt, I mean, there was the promo on the Raw afterwards.
I mean, I just think if you're going to hold that belt, the title, you need to be on the show every week.
Yeah, I agree.
Do you know what? I would even mind a video package.
Right.
Or one of them sit-down interviews with Michael Cole. Something. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just to keep it. Like, you even forget there's a champion missing.
Yes.
You just think, wow, this show's dead. And you don't think about why.
Yeah.
Until you remember, right, there's no champion. So, yeah, I don't know. Should we talk about SmackDown?
Yes.
Believe it or not, SmackDown is currently on the TV in my house right now.
Yes.
As we record this. So there's been a couple highlights so far. Dolph Ziggler.
Ziggler versus Nakamura?
Yeah.
I think Ziggler did a good promo this week on SmackDown.
It was good.
Cut a good promo saying how the fans disrespect him. He's been wrestling for years and you guys just abandoned me. And you want to cheer this guy who's never wrestled on SmackDown Live. And I don't care. I've never seen any. What I liked is the fact that Ziggler points out he's never seen a Nakamura match. So he does. So not only does he not get why they love him so much, he's not willing to even discover why either. I like it. So then Nakamura comes out. Ziggler and him has a little back and forth. Nakamura says, I'll show you what I can do right now. And Ziggler's like, nope. It's not happening. We're gonna face that backlash. And he throws his jacket, attacks Nakamura. Nakamura starts reversing it. And then, so I really hope Ziggler and Nakamura tops Nakamura and Zayn. I think Ziggler needs that.
Ziggler definitely needs that.
It won't,
unfortunately.
But I really hope that's what they're striving to do.
But the difference between Nakamura and Zayn is that Ziggler, like, you're more invested in the match in the sense that I think that Ziggler's telling the story more, which is good. But this is the heel Ziggler that we wanted to see like 2 years ago. Like, it's taken way too long.
Mm.
And I think he's got to a point where you kind of don't even believe Hill Ziggler. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's taken way too long. Like, but I don't know. We know he's going to lose, but it's what he does after loss is whether he's going to come out a winner. Do you know what I'm saying? Because you can lose and still win.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? Like, it depends what he does with the story. We'll see. We'll see. I don't know.
The women didn't have a really great showing. No, this week on SmackDown, it was Becky versus Natalya. Naomi and Charlotte come out to back Becky. Obviously, Natalie has a welcome committee crew. And Becky kind of beat Natty in seconds. And then there was like a little argument between the three. But they're kind of trying to make it. They are going to join forces to stop welcome committee. It's just.
Yeah,
it was nothing.
Usos.
Yes, let's do this.
Let's talk about the Usos.
This is my highlight of SmackDown. Yeah. Apart from the main event, which I really enjoyed. The Usos and the Fashion Police match I'm excited for because the Fashion Police are doing good things right now.
Yeah.
With their little promos and then detective work and whatnot. This week, they're dressed up like Sherlock Holmes and not Watson, but a police officer. And, you know, they're investigating files. But anyway, they defeated Ascension. And then the Usos came out. And caught a blinding promo.
Very good promo.
In 12 days. Man, they were. You get clapped too.
You know what it is?
12 days, you get slapped too.
You know what's sick is I think they're letting them. Because I genuinely believe that if you got a twin, you can kind of work out what they're going to say or how they're going to say it. And you can vibe off that twin.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying?
I agree.
I think like they've never really done that before.
No.
And I can imagine, like, in their house, they do that, like, finish each other's sentences, or, like, as they were going up, knew what the other one was going to say. But, like, to bring it to WWE, they've never really shown us that before. I think before, the promos were really, like, finding, but I can imagine this. I think what they're doing now is some of their best work.
Absolutely.
So yeah,
it's, I'm loving this new Usos, man. This is the best heel turn in a while, man.
Yeah, but is it, again, we were talking earlier, is this actually a heel turn?
Yeah, I don't know.
Because you know why I say it might not be? Because they really do still kind of pander to the crowd a lot.
And they also, when they go and talk and smack, Daniel Bryan loves them, man.
Yeah, is it?
He doesn't front.
Really?
Like, that's the thing. When they were doing heel stuff, Bryan was like, you guys are so cool. Like, Bryan was just, he doesn't even...
He was rapping with them. Anyway.
Yeah, you know how Bryan always gives people a hard time when talking smack? Yeah. He doesn't give them a hard time at all.
That's hilarious.
In 12 days! It was so good, man. It was so good. So Usos all the way. I want Usos to retain, and I can't wait for Usos New Day program. Come on.
The run up is going to be sick.
Come on.
The lead up is
going to
be sick.
That has to be SummerSlam.
That's going to be some
New Day Usos. That has to be SummerSlam.
Yeah.
And the American Alpha will come back after that. Another thing that happened was a Rusev video.
Talk to me about this because I didn't actually get to hear
it. The crowd popped for him.
Yeah.
The crowd said, we want Rusev.
Yeah.
And Rusev announced he's going to come back next week on SmackDown.
Okay.
So I'm assuming Rusev might impact the main event somehow in a way.
What is in the main event next week?
Or,
do we know?
No, main event in terms of Backlash. Or something. Or maybe Rusev will be... I think Rusev will come back in a big main event slot on SmackDown.
Okay.
And if Jinder doesn't make it against Orton, maybe Rusev will be the one that comes to champion.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. Very possibly. So. And the main event was a six-man tag.
Yep.
Between Randy Orton, AJ Styles, and Sami Zayn versus Jinder Mahal, KO, and
Baron Corbin. A nice match.
Yeah.
Very nice back and forth. Jinder got the win, which was important. And
I like Jinder's
finish. I was rooting for Jinder, man. I was going crazy for him. So let's go Jinder, man.
So we've talked about this before because like, it's documented. We said this. We really like that Jinder's getting his push. But unfortunately, every time I see Jinder on a mic, I feel like he's not ready.
Okay.
I don't know where he is.
He's not that bad, though.
I don't know. I just feel like he's not ready to hold that title. I think he can do more. I think there's more he needs to do. He looks
menacing.
He looks so menacing.
He looks like he'll mash you
up. He looks strong. Yeah. He looks menacing. I just don't know if he's ready for the title. I don't know. He is a very good... He's like shaping up to be a great heel though.
Yes, he's doing really well. I just thought of something.
Go on.
Jinder won this week on SmackDown.
Yeah.
Orton will get his revenge next week on SmackDown.
So you think that means that Jinder's going to win at Backlash?
He might do.
It's a possibility.
There's 3.0 billion people in India. The network's coming to India very, very soon.
Oh, it is?
Why do you think they're doing this?
Well, when is their next tour of India?
Probably in the summer.
Because if he goes back to India with the title, he actually even says in this promo this week, I'm taking the title back to my homeland.
That's happening.
He's about to start talking in Punjabi before he was interrupted. I mean, it's interesting. I think if he does get the belt, he won't hold it too long.
He'll be a transitional champion.
He'll be a transitional champion, but it's good to say that he was a champion. And they
absolutely.
Had a good champion.
And the first ever, well, no, Great Khali was in world champion, wasn't he? He'll be the first ever Indian WWE champion.
Yes.
So that'll be history, man.
That'll be history.
I'm rooting for that, man. Yeah. We need that.
Yeah, man.
We need more diversity in wrestling.
Shout out to Jinder. I want him to do well. I just don't know if he's ready yet. But I think, like, he's one of them people that on the job will get it.
Mm-hmm.
Will actually get it. I don't think the crowd hate him enough yet as well.
No, they don't. There were people in the UK that were cheering for it. Like, obviously, there was a lot of quiet. There was a lot of silence.
Yeah, that's the problem.
There's a lot of people looking at him like, you don't deserve to be there. But exactly. There was pockets of people like myself, and there was some people I was giving some high fives to some random strangers who were cheering for Jinder.
He needs to be hated.
He does.
Like,
well,
you need that silence or cheers. That's what I'm just saying. Silence is a real issue for me. Like, if you're getting silence, you don't deserve to hold the main belt.
Yeah, and there's nothing there.
Yeah, do you know what I'm saying? Cheers are great.
Yeah.
Silence. Cheers are great.
Cheers and boos are great.
But silence is an issue.
Like, that's the reason our Reigns is over, because if Reigns wasn't over, there'll be silence.
Exactly. So. I think when people hear your music, another thing is like, even it's still quite new, because even when his music comes in, I'm not sure who it is straight away, do you know what I'm saying? So those kind of little things, that's why I feel like it's maybe another 3 or 4 months before you give it to him. I mean, I don't know. Maybe like, there's some kind of schmores, mad. Maybe he loses, he wins, but he still looks super strong. But he doesn't win the belt. I don't know. Something. I don't know. But I'm not sure yet. I think he maybe should chase it a little bit longer.
Cool.
That is my point of view. All right. We're going to wrap here because we had two interviews today.
That's right.
Next week,
our boy Flew, Flew Allen, back in the building.
Friend to the show.
I also got a list of people that want to get on the show soon. So you will be hearing the likes of Swami.
Yeah.
Baraka's a rapper from the UK. He'll be on the show soon. Ryan from hiphopkings.com. He wants to get on the show. Ryan Reese from Grime Daily, the Fubar show he does with Michael Payne. He will be a guest in the show too. And obviously Logan Salmer is always invited back on the Kick Out. So we have a bunch of people that's, you have a lot of guests coming on very soon. So
sick. All right, man. Till next week. Rate, subscribe, comment. Anything else you want to say?
And in 12 days, it's Backlash. So we'll see what happens.
All right. Peace.